Cold Saturday morning. Good morning. That was Mel and Den. Those guys are good. Boy, you're going to hear more. You're going to hear more of them in the future. I have to tell you, Mel. I'm not sure who is who. It's a man and a lady. And the person who plays the accordion is a guy, and is quite short and quite round, and it's just, you have to look them up. Mel and Den, they're very famous. they're making their United States debut right here on Hot and Cold. You know what, nobody can deny we're on the cutting edge of what. I'm not quite sure. But we are on that edge. Bleeding edge, is that what it is? I think could be. Oh, man. Well, you know, been a heck of a week. Man, was it hot. And yesterday, this morning, you know, I've been marching around in a T-shirt all week. I mean, well, all month, really. And this morning, I went out to get in the car. Now, granted, it was early. But autumn is on its way. It's here, or not here, but it's going to be here. And the best time of the year in the state of Maine, as far as I'm concerned. So yesterday, I had made arrangements with a tree guy to come and cut down the trees. And he came yesterday and did an absolutely stunning job. When I first got out of school, I was a forester, gone to forestry school. I got a job with a tree service. And I have a lot of respect for folks who, I have a lot of respect for a lot of people, but folks who do tree work, who know what they're doing. I don't know if I want to say they make it look easy, because it's hard work. And this guy, was all muscle, all the crew. I mean, you know, you don't get fat doing tree work. You You work hard. Anyway, I don't know. We had about 7 or 8 trees that came down. They just did a fantastic job. And there were a lot of wires in the way, which is one of the reasons the trees came down. there's electrical wires for our property and for our neighbor's property in amidst the trees. And I thought, well, he's going to get CMP out here. And he worked around it. I mean, you know, he knew what he was doing. He's works, you know, if you're a tree guy, you know how to work around wires and protect them, and did a great job. Didn't call CMP, was able to do it safely. But at some point he said the wire going to our neighbor's property, he said, one of these trees has been rubbing up against that service cable coming off the pole, and it's bare conductors on the top side, and it looks like it's probably arced at some point. Okay. So, and he showed me where it was, and I could see from the ground. Now, there's a top side that had gotten chafed. I could see from the ground the insulation, you know, it was, I don't know, 12 feet off from where I stood, eye level. And I could see some insulation kind of sticking out a little bit. So I called Central Maine Power. They came over, and the guy replaced the cables and showed me what he found. And it was unbelievable. So as it turns out, folks next door had lights blinking at times because the thing was arcing. And I would say there was about an inch where there was no insulation. Now, the cable's the size of your pinky. Now, these are the cables that come off the pole, size of your pinky. And about an inch, maybe a little more even, of exposed cable, just gone. Nothing there. No insulation. And then there was probably about 5 inches where it had abraded. The 1 inch spot is where it was arcing, because it had burned back the insulation. And then there was probably a 5 inch part on the one I asked the cable guy, CMP guy, could I have one of those? I'm sure he wanted to take one and show it to the guys back in the office. But there's about 5 inches where the insulation was in place, but the strands of the cable, the wire, were exposed. I mean, if you touch that, you're dead. So it got fixed. And you know, I was worried about that for a while. And it's one of those things, got to get the money in place. It was not inexpensive to do these trees, but we wanted to get it done for a number of reasons, not the least of which was the fact we had wires passing through. Well, that issue is gone. And I'm glad we did it now, because at some point it was going to either set a tree on fire or certainly take the power out for our neighbors. It would have been, it's better not to do these kind of things under duress, but kind of in a planned, semi-planned operation. So it worked out well, and I'm glad that's done. And it looks good. And Pete is all excited. So, you know, if we make Pete happy, we do have the stumps. We've left the stumps just for Pete. I figure we can always cut the stumps down later, and maybe Pete wants to carve something. You never know. So, yeah, we'll see. It could happen. I'm not sure we want Pete carving stuff, but maybe we do. It could be a whole new career for Pete. Anyway, it's 8:15. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
to have my coffee when I wake up in the morning. I got to have my tea when the sun goes down. But every page of my life's the same old story. 9 to 5, day after day, I can't be found. Oh, hanging around that water cooler.
Working every day.
5 o'clock, can't come sooner.
Working my life away.
Waiting for the evening to roll around.
Working every day.
Well, my shift is over, I'm highway bound. Day after day, oh, but I get no relief when my working day is done. Just to sit in rush hour, man, no, it ain't no fun.
Little Pokey Lafarge, Saturday morning. Yeah, I gotta have the coffee first thing. Somebody said to me this week, no, don't drink coffee. That's awful. No, I'm sorry. It ain't like smoking cigarettes, and the coffee ain't going nowhere. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't drink coffee. I don't know what got me started other than maybe just old age. I need a little extra energy, and I at this point, as I get older, I think I need more coffee. I think that's the solution, is just to drink more coffee, and I am moderate, but not giving up coffee. I don't care what they're raising the prices, the tariff and everything. I'm going to drink the coffee. I don't go to Starbucks. And I don't go to any of the fancy coffee places. I'll make my own coffee. Thank you. There's the economy right there. Not spending $6. Although, you know, for a cup of coffee. Although, I have to say, it seems like this would have been a good week for a coffee culotta. I didn't get one. We get another heat wave, I'm going to get a culotta. I'm going to get a culotta before summer's over because I think that's appropriate. That's an American institution right there. Oh, man. I don't know. I probably talked about this last week about this new thing I was doing for banjos where I was trying to make a rim that would have a good glue joint. And basically, it's kind of like a ball and little pieces of wood, two inches by 2 inches. And I've got like a ball and socket. One end is concave, one end is convex. And it's 3/4 inch thick. So I used a 3/4 inch bit and I did one end concave, one end convex. Glued it together, clamped it with big hose clamps I got that are big enough because it's 11 inches in diameter. And I guess I did this last weekend and took it apart. Sanded it down, cleaned up the joints because there was glue everywhere. And all of a sudden, I've got like really good glue joints that are tight. And it looks like somebody who knew what they were doing did it instead of me. It came out really well. And I've not put it together into an instrument yet, but I was using what I consider to be primitive equipment. I had a kind of a cheesy, cheap Craftsman router table with a Craftsman router. And I wound up this week picking up a Bosch router table with a Bosch router. And God, it's nice. It's really well made. So I haven't done anything with it yet. We've been busy. I guess I got it on Thursday. So, and then we had the tree thing yesterday. That was, all I did was mess around with it a little bit, figure out where things were. So I got this really nice piece of router equipment. You know, baby steps. And also, actually got it from the tree guy. He had a planer for sale. I have a planer. The standard kind of planer you get for planing for a small shop, the Ryobi, DeWalt, Harbor Freight even, are all kind of similar. They're 12-inch planers. They're relatively lightweight build quality, usually a reasonable bit of plastic involved, not where obviously they're planing. And they use what I like. It's like a circular saw motor. It's a brushed motor. It reminds me of a vacuum cleaner when it runs. But it does a good job. And I've got one of those. I've got a Dayton, actually, which is a little bit higher quality. All metal build, not plastic. On a stand, it's a nice piece of equipment. I came across this Craftsman. It was labeled Craftsman router. And it was very substantially built. And it was very inexpensive. It needed a little bit of attention, although I just got it yesterday. It doesn't need much. And it turned out Craftsman didn't manufacture it. A company named Belsaw did, if you're into woodworking. Belsaw's been around. And so the thing came, and I got it into the shop yesterday, and I lift the covers, and I'm looking at this thing. And it's all chain-driven. I mean, it's a substantial piece of, as the British would say, it's a substantial piece of kit, really well built. And, oh, my God, I can't wait to get this thing running. It does run on 240. I don't have any 240 outlets in my shop, but I'm going to pretty darn quick. What it reminds me of, in a previous life, I had taken a job out of state to run a hardwood mill. And this was a big hardwood company that serviced the New York metropolitan area. And they wanted me to manage the mill. I said, okay, you're going to run the mill. You need to know our important piece of equipment inside and out. And that was a 3-foot-wide planer. And that summer, I was in New Jersey. Talk about hot, sticky weather. As soon as I left the air-conditioned house we were in, I had to get my head into the zone that I was just going to be miserably hot. And I was young, so I don't know if I could do it. I know I couldn't do it now, but I would just get into the zone. Okay, it's just gonna be a crummy day, and I'm going to get through it. But this piece of equipment was substantial. And it reminds me, the build quality is not as big, but it reminds me of that same piece of equipment. It's not as massive. The one I was running was 3-phase, and it was a big thing. And I got to know it relatively well in the time I was there before I realized. We were only there for 2 weeks. We realized, boy, this was stupid. Moved to New Jersey. What are you, stupid? And 2 months later, we were back in Maine. And I never looked back. Although I missed the job. The job was fantastic. I had this entire professional woodworking shop surrounded by guys who were a fair bit older than me, who were all gifted artisans, you know, woodworking guys. I had access to all the equipment. So I was making all kinds of, I know it's hard to believe, all kinds of banjo-related stuff. And that part of it, I broke my heart to leave. And the people I worked for were fantastic, but it was New Jersey. I mean, there's a lot of nice places in New Jersey. Where I was wasn't one of them. Although, like I say, the job was great. And I hated to leave. But coming back to Maine was one of the smartest things we've ever done. Occasionally, you get it right. You know, in life, a lot of times you do stupid stuff. God knows I've done enough stupid stuff in my life, which is one of the reasons we were doing the TV show. I wanted to be able to show that, you know, everything doesn't, it doesn't go like this old house where everything's perfect and you just have a gazillion dollars to do something. Life isn't that way. You get to do, you do what you got to do and you make mistakes along the way and hopefully you learn from them. And I did. Don't move back to New Jersey, Tom. Don't go there. Nuh-uh. So, anyway, but so I've got this other piece of equipment now that is quite impressive. And it's kind of strange to have good woodworking equipment. Which reminds me, the guy I got the routing equipment from had a really impressive table saw, one that it's on my list of things to get, except it is not inexpensive. And it's called a SawStop table saw. And SawStop is kind of an impressive technology. You may have seen it. It's a table saw. It's got a big blade. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that people lose fingers on all the time. The SawStop saws, on the other hand, will shut off before they cut your finger. So if you make any contact with the saw blade, it immediately stops the saw. You might get a little nick on your finger, but they're not going to call you stubby because you're going to have all your digits. And they're not inexpensive. And it's about, if you trigger the thing, you have to replace the mechanism. I think it's about $60. $60 is way cheaper than even just going somewhere to get a cut fixed. Much less having a digit reattached, if in fact you can find it in the sawdust. I was impressed. It's quite an impressive, and it's a shame that we can't have them everywhere, except they are about $2,000. But I think if I had a shop, a woodworking shop, and had employees doing the saw stuff, I think I'd have to have it. The fact of having somebody get hurt to that degree it's not worth it. A couple grand. It'd be worth doing. It's the price of doing business, I guess, is the term. Speaking of doing business, we got to take a break. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. It is hot and cold. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low.
Levon Helm. Oh, man, I tell you what. You know, if it wasn't just that Levon Helm was a great musician, I mean, one of the great musicians of our times, it was the fact that he was also in several movies. And the one that I will never forget, and I have to watch it again just because of him. The rest of the movie's okay, but it's a Mark Wahlberg movie called Shooter. And Levon Helm is in it. And I didn't even know he was in movies. I might have had been buried back in my brain somewhere. But I wasn't real cognizant of the fact. And I'm sitting there watching this guy. And the way they had him, they didn't really use makeup. It's just, at that point, he was ill. I mean, he died of cancer a few years ago now. And he was frail. But man, you have to, if you haven't seen the movie, you haven't seen Levon Helm, you could probably just find the scene. If you put in Levon Helm, Shooter, Mark Wahlberg on YouTube, you'll probably find that scene. And maybe that's what I should do. I don't have to sit through the whole darn movie. Just to watch him, because he's, oh God, it's good. Anyway, let's see. We had a text message. We got a couple text messages. Saw stop, that's for sissies. I sure do miss my fingers, though. Yeah. You know, I've... It's a numbers game, and you just have to pay attention. I find myself, as I get older, thinking, you know, I've dodged a bullet. I worked in sawmills. I worked in lumber mills, hardwood mills, whatever. And I have 10 fingers. And I kind of like to keep them at this point. I've kind of attached to them. And they're long and bony. You can't, I thought, well, which hand would I want to, if I had to lose a digit? But one hand's for fretting, one hand's for picking. And you got to have them both. So, but I, like I say, if I had, especially if I had employees, it would, doing that kind of work, I wouldn't hesitate. It's worth the investment. We did get a message. Good morning, Tom. I watched your video with Dick Hill on frost heaves. Could you please go into more detail about a privacy fence? Wrap the pressure treated posts in plastic, fill the hole with crushed stone, no concrete, foam. Thank you. It's great to hear Dick's voice again. It is. And it's worthwhile looking at the hot and cold videos on YouTube. And there are also other videos of Dick Hill doing presentations. The audio is not real great on those. We had, for when we did things, we always had a mic on. So we can get really good audio. You don't want to miss anything being said by Dick Hill. The frost heave thing for doing posts, for doing fence posts, and I've got some fence. There's a fence. I've done a lot of fences, I guess, over the years, and the basic thing I found is, and I'd be doing it today if I was putting a fence in, at bare minimum, using pressure treated lumber. And don't use landscape lumber. Use pressure treated 4x4s or 6x6s, whatever, for ready for ground contact. Friend of mine said, well, you should get it, you know, for marine use, which would be really serious, seriously treated in terms of a lot of treatment into the wood. I'm not sure that's an imperative. The fence I'm thinking about at this particular moment, I didn't do anything special. I just put the post in the ground. I didn't use concrete. I just backfilled it, and it stood the test. But knowing that, what I know now, it's worthwhile to do a couple extra steps. And the minimal extra step, which is cheap to do, is just to wrap the bottom of that post that's in the ground with plastic. It really doesn't even matter what plastic. And I would go about a foot out of the ground, so above grade about a foot. Now, if I was doing it where, let's say I was building a house and I was going to put the structure on posts, or I was building a deck and I was going to put it on posts, I would go an extra step, which would be first I would wrap the post with ice and water shield, which will stick to the wood. And it's important to cover the bottom as well. An ice and water shield is sticky stuff, so it kind of sticks to itself really well. And put that on. And it's a water barrier, obviously. And then I would wrap it with plastic. So it's really a belt and suspenders approach. Those two together are going to protect the post. Okay? The plastic does something else, though, too. And the plastic is actually going to minimize the ability of frost to grab the post. So let's assume you're in soils that are not real favorable for frost heaves. In other words, you're going to get ice lenses forming around the post and move it around over time. The water in the soil is going to freeze, but it can't grab onto that post. If it's a bare wooden post, there's all kinds of fiber, there's little gouges, there's a lot of places for stuff to grab. And it's kind of like glue. Glue has to grab onto something, and that would, at minimum, be a rough surface. And even though it's planed wood, if you looked at it under a microscope, it's not smooth. It's not like glass. Plastic, and there's a term that we use when you're talking about adhesives, and that is surface energy. And a low surface energy is the ability of adhesives to stick to things. So you get a very low surface energy with certain kinds of plastics. Polyethylene, polypropylene, the plastic, 6 mil poly, that's polyethylene normally, and it has very low surface energy. It's a challenge to get stuff to stick to. You can get something to stick to it, but it's a challenge. Ice lenses forming in a post hole will not stick and is much less likely to heave that post. So from my point of view, I'm kind of cheap. I wouldn't be using cement or foam to hold the post in the ground. I would backfill and tamp it well. Now, the depth of the post, how deep you get into the ground. I'm not worried so much about frost heave, getting the post into the ground, as much as I'm concerned about strength. The deeper the post goes, the more lateral support you've got. And if you backfill it well, I don't think it's hypercritical that you use concrete or the foam stuff. What's nice about it is you don't have to tamper. You just throw it in and let it sit, whether it's concrete or the foam. If you're using foam, they make these packs now where you it's two-part foam, and you squish them together, and then you cut the end and you fill the hole with foam. The beauty of that is that it will add some insulation and minimize frost lenses. From that point of view, I guess it makes sense. It depends on the soils. There's a judgment call on the site. What kind of soils are we dealing with? When I did the fence that I'm thinking about, which is on my what was my property on Broadway, the front fence in the front yard has been there over 20 years now. Is it 30 years? Oh, my God, it's 30 years. And it's just the post in the ground. I don't know how good the posts are at this point, but the fence is still standing. So I'll say that's not bad considering I did not wrap the post at the time. So I hope that helps. I think you can get a little bit better support with crushed stone or concrete or foam, maybe. But I found that just tamping and having maybe another piece of 4x4 that I can pound the soil back into place could be pretty substantial. If I'm down 3 feet or so, I think you can make that pretty rugged just by backfilling it properly. Missing a finger is overstated. Just guess Jerry Garcia. I'm sure Jerry Garcia would have preferred to have all his fingers, as most of us, I think. I think most of us would. But, I also want to, before I forget, I want to mention our friends at General Appliance in Center Street and Brewer. If you're looking for appliance parts and services, they're right there on Center Street, open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. Phone number's 989-4341. And I have that in my head. It's also on my phone. I've got it on my cell phone just in case, because I do have lapses. I know that's hard to believe. As sharp as I can sound on the radio Saturday morning. But 989-4341. You know, the funny thing is, I could rattle that number off. I rattle it off every Saturday morning for you to make sure you have it. I can rattle off the phone number for the studio here, 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. You ask me those numbers when I'm not sitting, and they're not written anywhere here. Well, Rick's got them over here, but I never look over there where they've got the lights for line 1, 2, and 3. But I've got it. So 989-4341. Save that, because you'll need it someday, and I may not be available. I could be dead by then, by the time you need it. So save it, 989-4341. I got a question. Maybe somebody in Radio Land can answer this for me. This morning, I rode up State Street to go out to Home Depot to get a couple things. And I've driven by every time I've gone that way. It's a nice leisurely ride instead of being on the interstate. And I went by the Bangor Waterworks. Now, this is 5:30 in the morning. I'm driving by the Bangor Waterworks. And it's a residential. There's apartments in there. And there's no cars there. There was one scooter, a motor scooter. And I'm wondering what's going on there. It was 20 years ago that the waterworks was rebuilt, and I think it was some kind of subsidized housing. And I at the time when I was doing the TV show, I was actually on the Historic Preservation Commission in Bangor. I was making a bit of a stink about the fact that the city had abandoned the property, and it was derelict. And I'm wondering, and obviously it got rehabbed, which is wonderful. Saved a significant piece of architecture here in the city of Bangor. Well, what's going on with it? It's vacant. There's a lot, I forget how many, was it 65 apartments? Something like that. And it doesn't appear to be occupied at this point. If somebody knows what's going on, I would love to hear what it is, because it puzzles me. And God knows you don't want me puzzled. Let's go to the phones at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. Hi. I got a question about a notice that's on my dipstick. I got a Toyota Corolla 2004 with 130,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that notice, it says no need to replace ATF under normal driving conditions, the automatic transmission fluid.
Yeah.
See owner's manual when replacing.
Yeah.
How serious is that? They don't want you to replace it, or they do want you to replace it?
I think back then, in particular, there was I don't know if I call it, it's not a theory, it's just a general thing that, oh no, we don't need to replace it because it's sealed. No, you should replace it. It's a fluid like oil. It's not oil. It's a little different, but with a car with this kind of miles, it's not real high miles. It makes sense to have it be a regular maintenance thing. It's not something that needs to be changed a lot, but at some point, there's a theory amongst mechanics that if you got to, say, 200,000+ miles, you just don't do it because you could cause more harm than good. I think as routine maintenance, I would be changing the fluid. There's a filter in there, too. And they'll drop the pan. They'll take out the filter, put a new filter in. They can inspect to see if there's any debris. I don't think there will be on a Corolla, but it makes sense. It's a fluid that should be maintained.
Okay. Yeah, that really threw me off when I saw that. And it's been bugging me for a few years, especially lately.
Yeah.
With the mileage.
Yeah.
I've been listening to your program. You had some fellows cut. I appreciate your answer. Who had cut your trees? What was the name of the business?
Cut the trees. You know, I was trying to remember this morning. And I'm looking at the sign. I'm looking at the sign in his truck. I'm looking at the sign he put it by the road. I'm driving up this morning. And says somebody's going to ask me the name of the guy, and I had in my head, you know, because I had met him like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. You know, he came and looked at it, and I had Tyler in my head, which is there's no Tyler in his name. His name is.
You know what? Yep. Maybe it's Tyler the tree guy, because you keep saying the tree guy, and I'm thinking, is that the same guy that they advertise on the radio, especially this station here?
This guy wasn't. This is somebody I met. His name is Adam Lynn, and he's out of Monroe. It's Lynn's Tree Service, and he does very good work. If you look him up, he's got all five. He's got a whole bunch of five-star reviews, of which I will add to. He knew what he was doing, and it was just two of them. And they banged it out. I mean, these were not just dump the tree, you know, chip this stuff. This was a dance around a lot of wires, and I'm kind of amazed to see. I'm from the era when I worked for the tree service. I was not the guy up in the bucket truck or lift or crane or whatever, where the guys I was working with endlessly knocked down wires. This guy, and where there were no wires, you had to almost go out of your way to knock them down. And this guy is doing a dance around all this stuff, and it was impressive. I was really quite impressed. So
how do you spell that last name? It's not Lynn, like L-I-M-B.
L-Y-N-N.
L-Y-N-N. Okay, Lynn. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I appreciate all your answers and your advice every time I listen to the radio. I learn quite a bit.
Yeah.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah, that just seemed awful funny, that notice on there on a transmission dipstick. I think, man, what is that about?
Yeah. Okay, I got to let you go. We're going to be out of time here. Thank you. It's time. And you know, there's a lot of good tree guys out there. Adam was the one that I used. We've got folks here at the station advertising and all good stuff. All good. You know, there's a lot of gifted people out there, and we get to know them. It is Hot and Cold this Saturday morning. We got to take a break. It's 8:55. Oh, my goodness. Where does the time go?
Lord, Lord, I
107 Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Pete will be with us shortly, I believe, barring customers coming in and interrupting the flow of what could be considered a radio program on Saturday morning. Let's see. How is the range of an all-electric vehicle determined? I.e., do they put it fully charged on a track and drive 55 till it stops? I don't believe so. I think they have a routine, I guess, an algorithm that they, you know, stop and go kind of stuff. Because they don't. I don't think they do highway and in town and the way they do with gas cars. And really, if you do a little research on this, it's automobiles are kind of an interesting animal. Up to about 35 miles per hour, you get pretty efficient. The car, as efficient as it is apt to be, stays pretty efficient. Over 35 miles an hour, wind resistance comes into the equation. And the faster you go, the more or less fluid-like air becomes. So the wind resistance becomes a very significant factor. So and of course, folks who you get this evidenced a little more with electric cars because the range is right in your face. You're running out of juice. Gas cars, I don't think you quite notice it as much, but electric cars in particular, you know, if you're in an electric car and you're driving 75 miles an hour, you might lose 40%, maybe more range or capacity because of wind resistance, hence why cars look so slippery these days. But I'm not sure. I know it's not just in 55 miles an hour and, you know, start and stop. You just go till it drops because that's not the ideal for electric cars anyway. The ideal, and this is true for hybrids too, the ideal for battery usage to maintain some longevity of the battery pack is to stay in sort of the center two-thirds of the zero to full range. So you don't normally want to charge the battery to 100%. You can, but if you maintain it a little bit below that, and you also don't go to zero, you stay somewhere above that. So let's say, 20 to 80%, 85%, somewhere in that range is sort of the sweet spot for batteries. And if you're in a hybrid car, especially in a Prius, which I drive every day, you see that that's where the hybrid battery, if you're monitoring that, will hang in a Prius and most hybrid cars. There's computers that maintain that state of charge in that area. Now, it may charge to being fully charged battery if you're doing a lot of braking because the regenerative braking is going to continue to charge the battery. So it can go to 100% and does, but then the car will pull it back down to something less than 100% to make sure that you're not, you know, stressing out the battery. God knows we don't want to stress out the batteries. So our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text is 601-207-4478. Tom, I wonder if that 35 mile per hour also applies to windstorms and tree branches where increase in wind velocity. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I would say it probably does. I'll agree with that. Got a long one. Where am I here? Let me get this right. This was a text that was sent to me that I did not get till today. So I thought you'd be interested in saying it to know Carl Farris, owner of Lakeview Lumber, passed away. Like many of us,
you valued Lakeview for its value-based products and deals. I did not find it online, and I just thank you, Pete, for sending this. I didn't know Carl. I knew his business, and I treasured it just because it was someplace where I knew I could get a deal, and still can. And I would make the special trip. It wasn't, you know, South China from where I live. I don't know, what is it, 30 miles? It's not that far for some of the things I've gone there for, and I've had them deliver too. And you know, they would charge, well, you know, it's going to be $75 for delivery. Well, or whatever it was, $50. It depended on what you were buying. But at the time I was buying, I think it was a cellular PVC trim. And even with the delivery fee, it was still a stinking good deal. And anytime I'm in that area, I want to stop in and just look. Because it's kind of like Martin's for just construction stuff, home improvement stuff. It's worth the trip. If you're not familiar with it, you definitely should know the place. It's Lakeview Lumber in South China. And my condolences to the family and the folks at Lakeview. Guy did a good thing. So thank you, Carl. Our phone number again, 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. By the way, I should just mention in passing, I don't believe we had any contact on this show, but our weekday guy, Country, who would call in with Rick and George, I didn't necessarily know his name. I know who he was after listening to the guys talk about. I'm sorry that, you know, we lost another one. It's you know, we get to know you people. George and Rick more than me because they're here for 5 days a week for how many hours? 3 hours? I'm here for 2 hours on Saturday. But, you know, it's a member of the family. You know, years ago, somebody referred to this as the electronic back fence, where you would stand and talk to your neighbors at the fence. And I've done that for whether they want to talk to me or not. I know it's hard to believe. You know, I would stand around and talk. I was the kid in school, in grade school, who got the little black marks for talking too much. I wish they could see me now, huh? I'll show them. The nuns never, it wasn't the nuns. It was those other teachers. Hey, we're going to take a break. It's 9:15. We're going to hear from Pete at some point. I'm going to check up, see where he is, and we'll be right back.
There's been a problem with the boat. Ship's engineer wants to see at once. Quiet down, man. We sail by midnight.
Oh,
learned the requisite banjo tune. Is that the second one? I lost track. We got the polka. We got the accordion polka stuff in first thing this morning. So anyway, that was Lincoln Hensley, in case you're wondering. Young man who has picked up the gauntlet of to continue doing what banjo players do very well. Foggy Mountain Breakdown. If you didn't know that tune, you know it now. From Bonnie and Clyde, the movie Bonnie and Clyde, originally from Flatt and Scruggs. So I wanted to mention, and I probably talk about it every week, but it just bears repeating. You know, talking about 12-volt batteries. We still have, I've been dealing with so many 12-volt batteries with the heat we've had. And, you know, people associate 12-volt battery failure with wintertime because the car won't start and it's cold and you're miserable. Well, in the summertime, the car won't start and you're hot and you're miserable. It ain't no better. And I had one this week that looked fine, took a charge, monitored it, car started and ran, and then the next day, boom, wouldn't do nothing. And at that point, you throw your hands up in the air and say, okay, let's get a 12-volt battery. It's not worth the aggravation. Speaking of aggravation or not aggravation, I have a friend who's looking for a gift for his wife. And it is, they're looking for a green MG, an MGA, I guess. Although I'll plead ignorance, I'm not sure about the differences, except I think MGB, no, MGB, not MGA. Age is not hypercritical, condition is. They don't need a project. I don't need a project. I'm just the facilitator trying to find one. If you know somebody's got a green one, it's got to be green. I don't know if I want to paint it. Let me know. Because they're serious buyers. And I give you the side story. My friend, his wife was a kid in England and went into the MG dealer to buy an MG in the 60s, and they wouldn't sell it to her because she was a woman. Finally, they sold her one. She has it delivered to New York City. Comes on the boat, fresh from England, left-hand drive. Woman doesn't know how to drive stick shift. And she picks up the car and drives. This is her first experience driving a stick shift from the dock in New York City. That makes my head want to explode. Because I remember my first experiences driving a stick shift. It wasn't pretty. But talk about learning under fire. Anyway, phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text 601-207-4478. We will hear from Pete shortly. I checked the cameras. He's rearranging the cars. He is all a flutter over the fact that the trees are gone because they were all evergreen trees. And what they would do is if we parked cars near them, we get sap on the cars and pine needles and spruce needles. And that's gone away. So he and Pete would go out with I had to get for him a leaf blower so he could blow stuff off the driveway. This was his thing. So I don't know what he's going to do now because there's no trees there. So, and he was hell-bent that right where our office is. There were a whole bunch of trees by the office, and we took them all down. We cut down a lot of them. We had a tree guy a couple of years ago took down some, and I left one tree, which was an oak tree. I like oak trees. What can I tell you? And it's leaning a little bit towards Route 1, and Pete just seems to be obsessed with the fact that that tree has to go. And he spoke to the tree guy yesterday about it. And he said, "Wait, what about that tree?" And I already told the tree guy, "No, we're leaving that one." And he agreed with me. I said, Pete, you know, I do have a little bit of forestry background. I know a little bit about trees. We're not getting rid of that tree. It's an oak tree. By golly, you know, the red maple, the other trees, they can go. The oak trees stand. So, and I got my way. It doesn't always work that way with Pete, but it did on that one. Well, let's see. We covered all the bases. And I should have this on a. I wonder if I could. I'll have to get it to Maria. My friend Dick down in Connecticut listens to us on the Voice of Maine radio app, on the radio app online. And he sent me a picture last Saturday after the show of a kitten that they're taking care of sitting on a table listening to this radio program. So I'm hoping the kitten is listening today because it just got mentioned. I don't know the name of the kitten, but it was a nice picture. So, and I guess we cover all species. What else? I had in my banjo thing, I had been, my work in general, I always have cable ties around. We're doing electronic stuff. It's good to have cable ties. If you're doing something with wiring and you want to make it look neat, use cable ties. Suffice it to say, I have a lot of cable ties. When we were making tanks, we were using a lot of cable ties. I think I bought 10,000 at a time. Might have been more, but I had a lot of them. And I still do. We still have them. And at some point along the way, we got some stainless steel cable ties. Don't ask me why. I don't remember. But Maria actually uses them for getting into nooks and crannies with a rag. Well, you know, when she's detailing cars. Well, I've got some for putting around my banjo pots. They're 36 inches long. I'm sure I mentioned this last week, and they arrived. I want to say they came last Saturday. 36 inch long stainless steel cable ties, and I want to tell you this is something really cool. And I have I had bought a cable tie tensioner slash cutter to do it right, to be able to tension this thing properly. And I went to put it on an 11-inch diameter banjo pot and, you know, cinched it up. And there's not enough of the tie coming out for my tensioner to properly grab it and tension it. And the term, I guess I would use, I was chagrined and dismayed. And I was able to tension it with a needle nose pliers. But I got thinking, I've got this tensioner. And it's not the kind of thing that I need to tension cable ties for anything other than doing a stupid banjo. I'm thinking about it. I got this investment in this tensioner. It wasn't much money. It was $20. I said, you know, if there was a 40-inch cable tie, I could use the tensioner. And I got online, right there on Amazon. I didn't even have to go far. Right there on Amazon, 40-inch cable ties. And I think they're going to be here Monday. And I want to tell you, that's going to be something. That's going to be a red-letter day when that happens. So. Hey, we got to take a break. It's 9:29. We got Pete on standby at this moment, giving you something just to be excited about on Saturday morning. If you haven't been excited up to this point, you better be, because the fun time's coming. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 9:34. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning, and it is on line three. Pete. Morning, Pete.
Good morning.
How are you?
You can't keep a good dog down.
I guess not. So what's going on, Pete?
Well, not much. You know, for those that don't know, last Thursday, I had jury selection, right?
Yeah.
I did not get selected for any juries, but I did get something out of the experience.
Yeah?
I got sick. I'm packed in a room with 150 people. I don't know. I'm very careful when I'm in, like, a situation like that, you know, like the movie theater, or if I'm in a, a situation like about where my hands are, what I'm touching, that sort of thing. But there was no stopping it. So, like, what happened was just after that, a couple days later, I started to get a sore throat. I absolutely loathe getting sore throats.
Yeah.
And then, I figured, I can muscle through it. I can jockey a desk, no problem. That was like Sunday night. And then Monday morning, my temperature was like 101.7 or something. And I was fevered like nonstop for like 3 days about.
Wow.
And the kicker is like, it would like during the day, it was like 100.5, right? And, and it was stubborn. I would take Tylenol or Motrin. It would kick it down to just under 100. I'd feel a little bit better, and then I would feel it spike again. And then the highest it would get would be like 101-something. But as it turns out, I didn't discover this till the tail end of it. The thermometer I was using was not my good thermometer, right? The thermometer was from COVID. Like, remember when COVID hit and you couldn't buy thermometers anywhere? They were all gone everywhere.
Yep.
This is some generic piece of junk thermometer that I bought. I was using it because I wanted to kill the battery in it so I could get rid of it and then use my good thermometer, from here on out. So, like, the last day of the illness, I used the good thermometer just to compare and contrast. The good thermometer is reading a full degree higher than the other one was. And I was like, oh, shoot. I've been running around with 101 to 103 degree fever for the last 2.5 days.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point I was just used to feeling fevered. I was starting to kind of just move around more.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so
I took several COVID tests. No COVID. It was weird.
Yeah. But the high point for me of you being sick, other than you not being there to pester me.
I was out for 3 days.
It was was the fact that you made some great recordings. Pete does really good impersonations, and he did a Robert Kennedy Jr. impersonation.
That was not an impersonation. That's how my voice sounded.
I know, but it was really good. Do we have that? Do we have that?
I think when you send audio messages like that, if you don't click to save them, I think they automatically delete.
Oh, I didn't save it, and I should have, because it was choice.
Spot on. Well, the kids who died of polio were the ones who weren't eating well anyway, But it was I wasn't leaning into it. I just sounded like
it was great. It was really great.
That was the sickest I've been in probably 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yeah.
I was starting, by about Wednesday, I was starting to wonder if maybe I might ought to get a GoFundMe going. Start asking for some thoughts and prayers. Getting my affairs in order.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, you came out of it.
Yeah. That's what was going on with me this week.
Yeah. Well, that kind of shot the week. I really did.
When was the last time I took 3 days off in a row?
No, it's almost never.
I don't think I've ever done that. I'll take a sick day here or there, but usually I'm just being whiny.
Well, I offered, there was some, I don't know if it was 4th of July. I think it might have been 4th of July weekend. I told Pete, take an extra, you were off on Thursday. I said, take Friday. Well, Friday was the 4th, right?
Saturday.
Why don't you take?
I said that's not how business works.
Yeah, I said close on Saturday. You don't have to come in. I mean, it's a holiday weekend, and he wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. He's that dedicated, by golly, and
I'm that dedicated to getting your money.
Yeah, yeah. Which means I
come
give
on
you
down
money.
And take a look at these fine calves. Exactly. It's a cycle. I get money, then I spend it locally, and then other people have money. It all works,
It's a circle. Hey, I checked the cameras this morning. I saw you moving cars around into that new needle-free zone.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Pine
it's so
needle-free.
Bright and sunny.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it technically is the neighbor's fence, but the condition of the fence is now quite apparent when you're coming across the road. But one step at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll deal with it.
So you already talked about the trees getting taken down?
I did. Anything you want to add, feel free.
I want to add, if you need tree work done, I cannot understate Lynn Tree Services, LYNN. Look them up. very well reviewed, and I was extremely, extremely impressed with how they did this.
Yeah.
Because there were four lines, power and cable, for two different properties, woven in and out of these trees. And I thought for sure, we both thought, that to get these trees cut down, we were going to have it scheduled where the lines come, get disconnected, taken down for both properties, everything gets cut down, then it gets put back up. He did the whole thing with a bucket truck.
Yeah.
Like, it was like he was just crisscrossing. I mean, these weren't high-voltage lines, but he was crisscrossing and up and down. No, the power didn't flicker once. The internet didn't flicker once. Nothing.
Yeah.
And they're all down now, and we don't have to worry about it. Because, like, when we'd have windy days, those trees would be swaying real hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, one of these days, it's going to come down. It's going to take the power out, and it's going to be a whole to-do.
Yep.
Because it's going to be all tied up in these trees.
And, so. And you know, the fact that he found the neighbor's line was the mess that it was. Yeah. That was just wonderful to, you know, catch it before it was an issue.
Yeah, you don't want to be dealing with that in the middle of January.
Yeah. Yeah,
seeing arcs in the tree, and then power goes out.
The thing was, that sucker was up in those trees arcing for some time, and the people who live next door, who I've now spoken to and CMP has spoke to, say, yeah, the lights are flickering every once in a while. Well, yeah.
Well, that would do it.
Oh, man. I tell you what.
But, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of light over there now.
Yeah.
And everyone will be happy to hear.
Yep.
He did leave the stumps about 4 feet up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once they sap out a little bit, we're going to put pumpkins on them at Halloween. I'm going to put like a Christmas tree on it at Christmas. I'm going to put a banner up that just says, I had him leave the stumps. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm going to have some great ideas. I got some plans formulating for them already.
Oh, and as long
some
as
little houses on them.
As long as we're talking about trees and tree guys in general, down the street from us in Searsport at the Yardarm Motel, have you seen the tree carving there?
Somebody mentioned that, and I was like, and I drove by the other day, and that is really impressive.
Yeah, they had several big aspen trees there. And the last one got cut down, I think, last autumn. And they have a carving, a chainsaw tree carving guy there with a man lift. And he did what would be Neptune, I guess?
Yeah, I think it was something like Neptune.
And it absolutely looks amazing. So we got trees, we got tree carvers, we got tree cutters. It's what we do here in Maine. By golly, and Pete's up there. Pete,
cut down the occasional.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you share any tips with the tree guy?
No, I didn't want to. I didn't want to criticize him, but you know, I think he did pretty good.
Yeah.
He really, it was impressive. Like, there was one at the very back of the property line against the fence, and it's the one that during that last ice storm, all the big cracks and crashes, it all came off of that one. So I was glad to see that one go. He cut that one down, and I'm like, there's no way it's going to hit the line. Fell short of the lines by like 10 feet.
Yeah.
I don't know how he estimates the height like that, but
I think that's called experience.
He's a professional.
Yeah, it's called experience.
Lynn's Tree Services, if you need a bunch of stuff done, and the price was extremely reasonable for the fact they were here all day. They chipped everything. They dumped the chips where we asked them to. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, we got chips now, man.
Tree work done. Give him a call.
Yeah, we got chips. Pete's going to be out there with the rake for the next 14 days, raking them out, right?
What do you want me to? Why? Why do you want me to rake them out? Just leave them where they are.
Okay. Now we're going to. And another fun antics yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was cutting some metal. I had a piece of metal on a garbage can, and I was cutting it with a cutting wheel. I thought, I smell smoke. And I looked down in the garbage can, and the sparks had ignited a paper towel. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch this. And how long do I let it go? And so finally, it wasn't burning overtly. It was just glowing. So I took
just
it out.
Enough, you could have missed it.
Yeah. It was hard to miss. My nose is big, and it smelled the smoke. So. But I put it outside, took the paper towel out, put it outside, and was quite impressed. I've never done that before. That's a new accomplishment of mine.
I did double check that trash can before we closed.
I bet you did.
Just to make sure you did. At all. Yeah.
You know, I should tell.
Can't be having another fire.
My wife and I get a kick out of Peter because my father-in-law, my wife's father, was an insurance agent, and he and I used to call him Mr. Safety. And he, you know, and Pete is, it skipped a generation, and Pete is Mr. Safety, so, and which is a good thing. I'm not going to complain about that. And while I'm talking about my father-in-law, Peter's grandfather, I've never mentioned this on, I've thought about it, and we never knew this when he was alive, but after he passed away, we found out my father-in-law, Pete's grandfather, was the driver for Omar Bradley during World War II.
Yep.
And when he was made Omar Bradley's driver, he was assigned a machine gun that he had to have with him at all times. So there's a story for you.
For those of you that don't know, Omar Bradley was the general that outranked Patton until Patton eventually matched his rank.
Yeah, yeah. He was
Patton's boss.
Very impressive World War II.
Yeah, Grandpa was Signal Corps, which was essentially intelligence back then. So
yeah.
That's why they were connected.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So, now, on the other hand, my father was a cook.
But it was the high-ranking officer's mess, though.
Yeah, it was the officer's mess in Italy.
Yeah, but it was the upper officer.
As long as we're generals and colonels and stuff. As long as we're telling World War II stories, I guess the officer's mess was across the street from where my mother lived as a young girl. She was acquainted somehow, or the British guys were flirting with my mother. And from that day forward, my father was not a fan of the Brits. This was before they were going out.
I don't like the British now.
Yeah, yeah. Heck with the British. All right. Enough family history, I think. Boy, we're rough on a tangent. Let's see.
I bring out the best in people.
Oh, I got an important message here.
Yeah.
Tom, I inherited my first banjo. What do you recommend for strings for a novice to learn on? That's a good question, isn't it? The strings I use are light gauge, and I use GHS strings. And gosh, I'm trying to think. There's a place in New Hampshire, actually. I think it's New Hampshire. You can Google it. It's called Only Strings, oddly enough. And so GHS banjo strings, light gauge or light medium. Those are a little bit easier on your fingers, especially for a beginner, and it'd be worth giving them a go. That's what I use. I use those on all my banjos. I can't always get the gauge I want, but I try to stay on the light side of things. They're a little bit easier on your fingers. So, do we have any cars left to sell?
We do, actually. It was, you know, what was interesting is what was the last day I was out? Wednesday? I'm off Thursday, but I came in Thursday.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Usually Thursday is my day off, but by Thursday I was feeling better enough to come to work, so I came to work because of all the work I had missed earlier in the week. But I guess Wednesday everybody came in.
Yeah. Wednesday was a circus.
And then Thursday was kind of quiet, and then yesterday was quiet, but I think it's because we had all the trucks and the chainsaws and all that stuff going on. But, yeah, we've got some nice ones still. I moved over into our new sunny section. The 2011 Tacoma,
yep.
The 2011 Lexus, which I'm a little surprised is still here, the Venza, which I'm very surprised is still here, the RAV4, I got the other RAV4 on the Charger, the 12-volt battery was a little low, and then the Prius C's, and what do we got? If you're looking for just gas, I got a nice Corolla, I got a nice Avalon.
Did you call Brian yet?
I did not. Brian, we're going to be calling you. I got to work it up, but I'll be getting in touch with you today.
Yeah.
Brian, if you know who you are, then you know what I'm talking about, the thing you had called about to see when it was.
Well, I'm going to mention it, what the thing is you're talking about. It's a 2020.
Well, Brian's got right of first refusal.
Brian has first crack at it because he's been very patient.
People,
waiting for me to get it ready. But we picked up a 2020 Nissan Leaf, which is an electric car. And it's the long-range Nissan Leaf that has originally 240-mile range. We charged it up. It's in that vicinity. It's over 200. I think it's 212, something like that. And I was a little. It needed a bumper cover, so I was a little while before I got it ready. I want to tell you that is one nice car. And what I like about the Nissan Leafs is they're affordable. Although Brian might not think so by the time Pete gets done pricing it. Nissan is one of the more consistent, and I can't say they make the best electric car, but they make a very good electric car, and they've been doing it a while.
They've come a long way from the very first generation Leafs.
Yeah. The early Leafs were challenging. This one is, I was kind of amazed how nice it was.
So we got that sneaking up. We do have a couple more RAV4s coming, but they're straight gas. The two I've got right now, they're both 2017, I think, hybrid RAV4s, which personally I think those ride a little bit quieter and smoother than the regular gas ones.
Yep.
But if you're looking for regular gas, we got a couple of those in the pipeline too. Those will probably be, you know, a week and a half or so, but they are coming.
Yeah.
So we've got some good, and we'll have some more all-wheel drive stuff coming up as we're coming into the season where everybody remembers it's going to snow again.
Yeah. We're pushing. We're trying to get it as affordable as we can get. I mean, the market is just totally cuckoo. But it's kind of like house prices. It's very challenging, and
we don't need to make any money.
I had a list. Was that Tuesday or Wednesday? I had a you weren't there, but I had a list of 8 to 10 cars, and I think I think it was Wednesday, and I got one. All the rest just went right out of sight, and well beyond. Now when you shop. When you're a car dealer like we are, when you shop for cars, there's four prices we get when we have a list that we write everything out. There's wholesale low, wholesale medium, wholesale high, and there's retail.
Those are condition dependent. So if the car
very much so. And that's why it would be low, medium, high. I'm there like ideally it'd be nice if we can get them at low, make a little bit of money. And I'm just seeing everything going for almost retail, and this is car prices, they're endlessly adjusted, and we're getting these prices online. We don't have a printed book, so they're based on sales and what stuff is going for, and it's just
when things go for retail, I think a big part of that is dealerships that are a bank first and they're a car dealer second.
Yeah,
they're focused on they're selling you a loan. They're not selling you a car.
Yeah, and they're selling you a car for more than retail.
Yeah.
Which,
but you're looking at it and saying, "Oh, it's $1,000 down, and this is my payment for the next 12 years." You know?
Yeah.
Not to say sometimes you have to finance them.
And and Maria was cringing at me. There was a 2018, and it was a little too new for my. My blood, but a 2018 Ford F-150, which is one with aluminum body, that was a repo, that had a bullet hole through the windshield, and took out the back windshield, and I thought, well, maybe
I love the idea that you think that's the only thing wrong with it.
Well, I did run it, but it was I thought, well, maybe that'll keep the price down. It's got bullet holes in it. And it went for crazy money. I mean, it was almost retail, but it was a nice truck. Other than the bullet holes, it was a repo.
I don't get the damaged repo thing. Like, if your car is getting repoed, you didn't pay for it? Why are you now damaging it because you're mad that they're taking it back?
Yeah. Well, it says something about a lot of things, I guess.
What I think happens is a car will break, right? It needs something repaired. They can't afford to fix it because the payment is so high because, financing. And then they go over to the dealer, and the dealer's like, well, it's a car, it breaks, it's your responsibility now. They're like, well, I can't afford to fix it, so then they just stop paying on it. And then they get mad because their credit goes down. It just turns into a big snowball. We got to get rid of financing altogether on all levels.
Okay.
Except maybe houses, but under my administration, nothing is financeable, and insurance is going to count as financing. So buckle up, healthcare.
Okay. So who's okay? What about all our customers who need financing? You gonna loan?
It'll. What's gonna happen is it'll even out. Okay. It'll even out. You know what we'll do? You know what we'll do? We'll do state-run financing. It'll be 2% interest.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. State'll make a little bit of money, and it'll help out everybody. Everybody'll have more money in their pockets. Then they'll have more money to spend, and then they'll come here and buy cars, and then I can buy things, and it all works out perfectly. I don't have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and the lowercase G's
It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've got the idea. At least I'm thinking. I'm having a conversation. I'm trying to get the dialogue going.
Okay.
I'm feeling much better today.
Yeah, Pete was not real talkative last week. It was kind of nice.
No.
All right, well, we're out of time. Go figure, right. Huh? So if you want to catch up with the latest on Pete, he'll be there till 3 today.
Yes, I will.
Thank you, Pete. It's good to have you back.
Sir.
It really is.
Right.
Thank you. See you next week.
Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all. Troubles more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine.